Good morning and welcome to Tuesday morning, October the 17th in 2023 on When I Rise. Today we continue year A, proper week 24, which is the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. And on the Tuesday of the week, we'd like to take a look at the Psalm passage, which comes to us from this week from the Revised Common Lectionary, in this week of the church's calendar year. So we find ourselves in Psalm 99. So let me read that passage, provide a couple points for reflection, and then we'll spend our time praying along the theme that we find there. Thanks for making us part of your morning on When I Rise. Let's allow our souls to rise and meet God together in a time of prayer. Psalm 99. The Lord reigns, let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim, let the earth shake. Great is the Lord in Zion. He's exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob, you have done what is just and right. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool. He is holy. Moses and Aaron were among his priests. Samuel among those called on his name. They called on the Lord and he answered them. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain. The Lord our God is holy. This is the word of God for us. So one of my favorite experiences so far, tag along with Ezra when he plays travel hockey, is a couple years back we got to go to a tournament in Denver, and it was hosted at the Denver University complex, the Ritchie Center, which is not just like the Denver University, but there's also like a public rink where public skating and youth hockey takes place. But during this tournament, they actually got to play a game at the Magnus Arena, which is the home ice for Denver University, which is a great hockey program. And not only is it a stunning arena, but it's kind of cool because like when you're there, they've got national championship banners hanging from the rafters. They've got people who've won the Hobie Baker, which is the hockey version of the Heisman Trophy, there on display. And you just feel like when you're there playing, like you're in a different type of rink, you know, like it's a different vibe. And there's like a great significance of that ice, even though like the lines and the boards and the ice is the same, more or less. Like it is quite different at the same time. Because of that, like I feel like all the kids had a little pep in their step and they wanted to play harder. They wanted to play their best on such a great sheet of ice. And I think that's what the power of a good story does for us. It motivates us. It inspires us. It actually gives us some aspiration along with inspiration. I think it's what's going on here in Psalm 99. I think the psalmist is reflecting back on their story and trying to remind the people of Israel of just how significant their story is. Kelly Flanagan, who's a therapist, he says, not only can we remember the past, but the past still lives inside of us, right? So the things that we need to work on are from our past, and the things that help put wind in our sails, the good things that have happened from our past, continue to motivate and to inspire us today. And so the psalmist in Psalm 99 decided to choose a couple of unique features to remind Israel of their story and to motivate them for the future. There are some stock images of God reigning and of the greatness of God from Zion that's exalted over other nations, it says in verse 2. But then the psalmist talks about these different ways in which God has been among his people. We look at verse 6 in particular. It says Moses and Aaron were among his priests. So generation after generation of our past, there have been people set apart, and their whole inheritance and duty was to exalt God and was to have the right worship of God from the people to God, and then the right affirmation and benediction from God to the people to remind us that we're still in God's care. The very next line, Samuel was among those who called on his name. And so if you remember the story of Samuel, Samuel was this unique feature within Israeli life. He was common among them. He would go from place to place and order worship, but he also served as like this preparation of like this ad hoc collection of tribes into more of a monarchy, the paving the way of a king being the centerpiece in Israel's history. Now, the Old Testament is divided and it shouts at itself whether this was a good idea or not. But nevertheless, Samuel was this critical piece, allowed the people of God to be delivered from some of their enemies, to be more established and solidified in that region. And so what's located in Israel's past and what still lives within them is how God used these idealized human figures. But it also mentions verse 7, he spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept his statutes and the decrees he gave them. And so this is from the wilderness stories where God protected them through the wilderness with the cloud of fire and the pillar of the cloud that protected them through the heat of the day. And then superlative statements about God in verse 8, this still lives inside them. Lord our God, you answered them. You were to Israel a forgiving God, though you punished their misdeeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. So this idea of God being a forgiving God. Yes, he did punish them. He corrected them because of their misdeeds. At the end of the day, the title summary of who God is, he's been a forgiving God who's kept his covenant. Therefore, our response is to worship him at his mountain. All right. And so there's this reflection of the past. There needs to be this reminder that God lives within us and these stories live within us. And we continue ahead because all that God has done in the past. I think you hear this from time to time. Maybe you're at a funeral service or maybe you're at a worship service that has some nostalgic worship tunes in particular, and people begin to sing them loudly and with vibrancy because not just because of the words in that moment, but because these songs were important to somebody at a critical part of their journey. They remembered singing it with their youth group, perhaps, or maybe they would sing it at this time of the year all the time. You think about the Hallelujah chorus on Easter morning, and not only is it a banger of a song, and because it's upbeat and meant to be sung loudly, no, that doesn't just conjure up the excitement from the crowd, but the fact that we do this every Easter, and there have been so many Easters where we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, like that lives in us, and it fashions us for today, and it prepares us for tomorrow, right? And so I think all that the song would tell us is that one of the faithful things that we could do is reflect and remember back. And I think this is important for us because, unfortunately, I think some byproducts of American religion we don't take the time to remind ourselves of what's happened before. We read our Bibles and we try to do our best maybe to get to the original intent of the text. If you've got a preacher who's dedicated to that, you're probably more fortunate than others. But like, I just remember for several years, like I was really untethered from the ancient Christian story. And like, I had actually like pay tuition dollars for undergrad and for seminary to get more and more acquainted with the old story. And so one of the admonitions that I would give is that we all need to be diligent to remember our story. And so whether that's to get like a church history book, or there's even some good periodicals out there that give little snapshots into church history, the names and the faces, the occasions, even the arguments that the church were having to try to find ways to convey the deep mysteries of God. Like all those things help us. They help us to be reminded of our story. They live within us and they almost act like this sacramental small group, right? Where we can be admonished by our faith's story from the past to be able to motivate us for today and to keep us on the path of faithfulness for tomorrow. So with those things in mind, let's spend some time praying to our God this morning. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for this ancient story. On the one hand, God, we confess the ancient story of our faith, it overwhelms us because we appear just like a mere dot on the map in regards to where the story has come from. And we know that as you have your plan for the future days after us, we'll still be a dot on that map if your story continues forward for ages upon ages. But at the same time, we are thankful for our ancient story. We call it a grace to us because it reminds us of your faithfulness that you haven't been a God just for 5 years now. You've been a God from eternity, and you've been seeking and searching for people, pursuing them. You've been saving them and rescuing them, and you've been including them into your unfolding story. And so that gives us great comfort this morning. So we thank you that you saw fit in your intelligence and your plan to include us into your family story. And so as we think about what faithfulness looks like in our day and time, we can be overwhelmed, but we know that we're not alone. We're not alone because you are with us. We're not alone because there's been many before us who have sought your face during their own complexing and challenging times. And so God, this day, we are reminded of how you've been faithful. You were faithful with Moses and Aaron for the priesthood, and you were faithful with Samuel and other friends of God who were able to speak a word in season. And we thank you that you were faithful in the first disciples and the generation of disciples after those first ones who walked with Jesus. And you're going to be faithful yet again with us today. And so in the midst of all our troubles and our worries, may your faithfulness get its last word. And may we be comforted and sustained and strengthened for the road ahead. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.